Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study titled, The Difference 40 Years Makes, Colossians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. And we'll see that it didn't take long for the Church of Laodicea to go from being faithful to being apostate. One generation is all it takes. You may send your questions, comments, or prayer requests by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can send those along with any check or money order contributions addressed to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at our website, bbfohio.com, by using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen on desktop, or by using the drop-down menu on our mobile site at that same address, bbfohio.com. We also want to remind you that you can listen to our Bible studies and congregational singing anytime, day or night, 24/7, by going to bbfohioradio.com, and you can actually have a ministry by telling others to tune in to that internet radio station, bbfohioradio.com. And now we begin our study titled, The Difference 40 Years Makes, Colossians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. This is part 1 of 2. Now, for some reason, that one worked. Our current events update, and I got a little too loud. Yeah, speakers, that's not supposed to be there. So if I could, just to those who might be watching online or any of you here, PowerPoint stinks, just so you know. I give credit where it's due, amen? All right, well, the current events update, criminalizing Christianity, is on target, and I mean that literally. Target, the store, is putting its weight and money behind an attempt to pass a law that would give the U.S. government power to punish churches and Christian business owners. And some people say, well, the Supreme Court will knock it down. Well, that may be true, but I'm not going to, just lay back and watch and hope that that happens. That's why there's a boycott of Target. And the boycott of Target started when Target decided that they were going to let men go into women's restrooms. If the man says, I identify as a woman, then he can go in and voyeurize your daughter, and let alone the ones that actually touch and abuse the children. So we haven't shopped at Target for several years because of that. We went one time to get a humidifier, I think, in the middle of the night. And I repented and asked the Lord for forgiveness. But I had to have a humidifier. So if I see you walking out of a Target, I'm not going to stop my car and scream at you or anything like that. But I do encourage Christians to just the slightest little effort and you can not go to Target as much as you used to,
They have stuff that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you'll see what I think of that in just a minute.
They're against the military.
Now, Target has gone on public record stating they fully and wholeheartedly support the passage of what's called the Equality Act, and that's the same thing as the Employment Non-Discrimination Act that was shot down. But this legislation has been driven for years by rabid homosexual activist groups like Human Rights Campaign. Now, that sounds good, don't it? Human Rights Campaign. You'd think that's good. They're a bunch of anti-Christian bigots. It's just like the Anti-Defamation League. You'd think that they were just about protecting the Jews and anti-Semitism, but they're not. They're about against Christians who stand for the Bible. And they are against, if you preach against Sodom or gay marriage, an Anti-Defamation League calls you a hate group. We're listed with the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group, this little church, because we oppose gay marriage. And the Southern Poverty Law Center has shown its true colors. Then their founder, their president, and the third in line all had to resign because they're perverts and they were sexually abusing their employees and that kind of thing. But anyway, Human Rights Campaign. It's totally anti-Christian and pro-Sodom, and is specifically designed to place sexual liberty above religious liberty and the First Amendment. So I believe it will be shot down if it goes through and the Supreme Court will overturn it. But I still believe that as a Christian, the least you can do. I mean, here's Christianity through the ages. Here's an example of AD 64. And they're about to be ripped to shreds by lions. And they recorded some of the prayers. And one of them was, "Lord, help us to die with grace and dignity. We gladly suffer for righteousness in the sake of the gospel." Here's today's Christian, 2019. "There's no way God cares whether we shop at Target and support their sodomite agenda. Don't ask me to sacrifice so much." And I think that's just a perfect picture of most Christians that I know, professing Christians today. It's a little baby crying with a wig on. It's just hilarious looking. But that's where you're at, 2019. And Christians, we talk about the world just getting worse. Just get used to it. Christianity is getting worse. Christians are getting worse. Professing Christians are just getting worse and worse and worse. So if you stand where all Christians have always stood, you're going to be the weirdo. You're going to be the guy on the outs. You're going to be the guy that no one wants to be around. Just get used to it. Or you can compromise and bootlick them. You know, that's your choice. But if you're going to be a Christian and take a stand for pretty much anything, they're going to mock you. And meanwhile, on social media, a lady named Mary, and I didn't use her last name, she was banned by Facebook for 30 days for posting this pic. And she explained that the top was the Iran women's volleyball team before Islam, and the bottom is after Islam. Now, the top picture, I could, they actually wear now in volleyball, girls' volleyball, looks like a thong out there or something. I won't watch it. It's just, it's disgusting. There's no reason to be that skimpy in your clothing, even for volleyball. But here, even there is a real short type thing. I think there's no reason why they can't be down, several inches toward the knee.
Context, so that was in the 70s.
That's the 70s.
That's how people, every person wore shorts.
Yeah, and that's the point.
There are pictures of me in shorts like that.
Well, I hope not. I didn't wear them that short. I did not wear shorts that short. Shorts were even for. But anyway, there's what Islam has. Islam turns women into slaves. And so when you see an Islamic woman with a hijab, you need to stop looking and hearing through the eyes and ears of liberals. Look at it from the context of sanity. That's slavery. A woman only dresses like that because she's a slave. And I don't care what you say. That is abuse of women right there. Islam abuses women.
Right.
And then you get... turn your TV off and go fly to Morocco and watch them flog women if they don't dress like that. Flog women. Saudi Arabia, they cut their heads off. That's the home of Islam. That's where Mecca is. And all these stupid Americans over here see a few Muslim women who, don't quite cover up quite that much, but they still have a hijab on, and they drive, and they have a job. And they said, "Well, that's true Islam right there." It's like, you can't be seriously that stupid. And that's, she was banned for just that off of Facebook.
For a permanent
or just 30 days? Hers was 30 days, and you get so many of those and they ban you permanently. Now, I was banned for 7 days because some black lady accused me of hating blacks. Now, to the black folks here this morning, do you feel hated? Yeah. She was born a poor black child. I don't care what your skin color is. If you're a Christian, you're my family. If you're living for the Lord, then I'm even glad to call you brother or sister in Christ. There's some black Christians I don't even want to identify with, because the same reason I don't want to identify with some white Christians and some Hispanic Christians and any race. Race isn't the issue. So anyway, I responded with this comment. I said, I don't hate black people. I pastor black people in our church. What I do despise are lazy, good-for-nothing black men who breed women and don't raise their children. Amen?
Amen?
Who won't put forth the effort to become skilled so they can provide for their families. Amen?
Amen.
Who walk around with their pants down to their crotch with their underwear hanging out. Amen?
Amen.
Who talk like they live in the jungle. Amen?
Amen?
But decent, godly blacks, I love them more than I love the white trash that are killing our communities with their wickedness. So stop talking like you don't have any sense. End quote.
I have a relative and he has five. He's fathered five children. He doesn't support any.
And guess what? He's trash. And I love him enough to look him in the eye and say, you're trash. You need to get right with God and stop being a male whore. And a really, you are part of the reason why our culture is dying. And I'll say it that I don't care the color. I don't care where they come from. And I've said that to a few people from my hometown. And I will continue to say that to people, because you know what? It should be their own mother who says that to them. Their own father should be saying that to them.
Yes.
If you love your kids, you tell them the truth. So anyway, this then after that happened to me and this Mary lady, then this happened. Facebook blacklists prominent conservatives, including Paul Joseph Watson and Laura Loomer. And what they're doing, if you are against abortion and you're against sodomites, or even a sodomite like Milo Yiannopoulos, because he supports Donald Trump, they call all of us, they lump us all in what they call far right. Now, what a liberal means by far right is you believe the Bible and or the Constitution. That's all it means. When, liberals are liars. And when they call you far right, I'm going to just wear it. Call me far right. Then tell me what you mean by that. And you ask a liberal. Go up to one that talks about far right and ask them what they mean by far right. Of course, they'll usually throw in the term racist when we're not. But they'll also call you homophobic. Well, call me homophobic. I despise same-sex anything when it comes to sex. Because anything outside of marriage, sex, is a sin. Whether it's same-sex or heterosex or bestiality. Anything outside of marriage, sex is a sin. That includes the queers.
Amen.
Amen. We live in a culture where you're just not supposed to say things that are true. And that Paul Joseph Watson, they also banned, they threw in Louis Farrakhan with it and called him far right. Yeah.
So, been banned a long time ago.
But they called him far right is the point.
Yeah.
They called him far right. That tells you you can't believe anything this news media tells you. They're liars. And Louis Farrakhan probably is mad about that as anybody, lumping him in with the far right. I'm telling you, I can't wait to hear what he has to say about that. He'll blame the Jews, but still. And as far as the claim, they always say this. Well, they're private companies. Well, okay, then let's go back to whites only. Amen? Amen. If a private company can do whatever they want, then they should have a whites only sign up. Or if they don't like Hispanics, no Hispanics here. Amen? See, I'm just saying, Americans are a bunch of liars. They pretend that they believe something and they don't. If you think it's wrong for a restaurant to say whites only, but you think it's okay for a private company to say liberals only, that's what they're doing. And to be more specific, they really despise Christians. This is anti-Christian bias. Amen. That's what's really going on. It's the new segregationists. And they have taken control, and that's what we need. And I've been praying Donald Trump will be the man. So far, he's not been. But we need a Teddy Roosevelt Teddy came in and busted up the monopolies where we were getting an aristocracy in this country. The Constitution was going out the window, and the ultra-wealthy Vanderbilts and Rockefellers, and who's the other one I'm trying to think of? Carnegie's the one I was trying to think of. And all those guys were taking over our country. And so what happened? Yeah, Teddy had some bad ideas and did some crazy things, and all that, but when it comes to those monopolies, he came in and he busted them up. And he saved our country. I think we would have been, Hitler would have arisen in America before it did in Germany, if it wasn't for Teddy Roosevelt. And I believe if Donald Trump isn't able to do something about it, the social media isn't what they're controlling. They're controlling your schools, and they're taking over the churches.
And it's the schools and universities. That's a done deal.
Yeah. The universities are gone, and it's they're being bought and paid for by Google. Lost Alphabet owns Google, I guess, or whatever they always come up with it. But Alphabet, Google, and YouTube are the same thing. They're all this is part of the same Borg. Alphabet is what the stock market name for Google and YouTube is, and so Alphabet lost $70 billion because of the algorithms they put on YouTube to silence Christians and conservatives. In other words, before they changed it, you would go on YouTube and you wanted to see something on Hillary's emails. They would show you the top videos. Not anymore, because the top videos were conservatives. So now they have fixed it. They cheat. Liberals are liars. They lie and they cheat. And they cheat now on YouTube to make sure that someone like Mark Dice or Paul Joseph Watson's video doesn't come up first. They're on page 4 of about 25. You got 25, 50, 7,500, and there they show up. They've got the most views, but they don't show up till later. That's what I'm saying. They would rather lose $70 billion and lie to you than they would make their money, which is what, if they're private companies, then they should be trying to make money. They're not private companies. This is a coup. They are taking over our country.
Greg, I got a thing where I was searching for a master code that's on the internet somewhere. Somebody said it was. Somebody on the internet said it was. But he didn't list the codes. Anyway, I was searching for a code because I had lost it for something. Went to Google, put in exactly what I wanted. The only thing I got for the first 4 pages were ads, sponsored ads. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I got. And I'm like, how, you know, what do I need to do to actually get a search result that's not a sponsored ad? I mean.
And about the only thing you can do is now go to DuckDuckGo or something like that. I just downloaded a new browser called Dissenter. And it is developed by the same people who run Gab. And Gab.ai is a social media network, kind of like Twitter, only they don't ban people. And the CEO says, hey, if you don't like what you see, block them. We're not your babysitter. That's the way it ought to be. I've blocked a couple hundred people in there already. They anti, you know, Jew-hating and racist and sodomites and people like that. I just block them. And now they come out with their own browser. So you don't have to use Google. And if you go to Dissenter, DuckDuckGo is the search engine. And that's all we can do. Will we win like some ultimate victory over this? No. I hate to be a bearer of truth, but we are just doing what we're supposed to do, be salt and light. And we're supposed to do that at every opportunity we have. And then at the end, the rapture happens, they can have it. Amen? Yeah, Dre?
Going back to the YouTube thing, you're not only it's not only affecting conservatives, but they're actually kind of screwing over their own independent creators.
Yeah. Mark Dice put out a video, I think it was Friday or Saturday, and he showed the documentation from YouTube where they're basically, I forgot to put this in here. Google's motto used to be, don't be evil. used to be. They dropped it because they're evil. Amen.
Right.
Now YouTube this week, at least this first I heard of it, dropped their motto was broadcast yourself. Dropped it. Why? Because they're going to just be another Netflix, Hulu provider where the people are silenced and you only have, you're able to choose from huge corporations.
Netflix is actually doing decent.
But you still, you can't create.
Yeah,
my point is, don't miss the point. The point is that they're silencing the people by becoming what we already have in Netflix and Hulu and the rest. YouTube used to be the place where the people could speak. They made their money off of you, and now they're going to junk you and just become another member of the Borg. Hey, it happened with Christian TV. WSFJ here locally took in hundreds of thousands of dollars every 6 months and said, this is where local churches can put on their own programming and this and that. And after they got their money and had their big studio and everything, then they sold to, now it's, I think, Inspiration Network or somebody. I don't even know if there are any locals on there now. And most of the time, it's Gunsmoke and stuff like that reruns. Christians paid just to have another cable network. You know who else did it? It was Pat Robertson. He did it. CBN. Used to be a 24-hour network with programming. They even had a Christian soap opera, minus the fornication and all that. And but now, he sold it. It's Fox Family, I think. Disney owns it. But it was built on the backs of Christians donating their money. On and on it goes. But this is all related. This what we're talking about is but one big illustration for what we're going to be studying this morning. We're in Colossians 4, and we're titling it, The Difference 40 Years Makes. And we want to go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word, and we do thank you for helping us to have discernment, to see how the stage is being set for the coming Antichrist. We look forward to the rapture, but in the meantime, Lord, help us to be soldiers who are in the battle. Most Christians right now are on leave, and a lot of them are AWOL. But help us. Well, all we can do is what we can do. Help us to be good soldiers and to be obedient to your call on our lives. And every one of us have been called to preach the gospel. And we just ask you now as we study, you open our eyes, help us to receive what you have in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so Colossians 4, beginning of verse 14. Good, and I'm sorry, should be 15. Beginning of verse 15, read that with me. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church which is in his house. Are you there? Everybody there? All right, verse 16. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. So we're going to close out our study of Colossians, and we begin, as I said, verse 15. And Nymphis is the host of the church of Laodicea, which is meeting in his house. And that means they're meeting in a building. And I just have to point that out because there's a bunch of goofballs out there telling everybody that it's a sin if your church meets in a building. I don't know if you knew that or not. And they say, well, churches should meet in houses. Well, we started in a house. And if that's right for your situation, then that's what you ought to do. But when you get more than a dozen people and you can't fit in the front room or you don't have a big basement and you don't have parking and all that, then it's time to get a building. And all these super spiritual people who say that stuff need to realize that house churches are meeting in a building. It's not a tent. I don't know anybody living in a tent that has a house church. And I don't know anybody living in a cave with a house church. But even then, it's technically in a edifice. God made the cave, or you put up the tent, or whatever. And there are churches. I've known churches that we've talked about. If we had to, we'd do this. Before this building came up, we were talking about, seriously, about putting up a tent. You can put up permanent tents, and meaning semi-permanent. I mean, you put them up and they stay there for weeks, months, or even years. And there's churches who started that way. They had 200-300 people meeting under a tent while their church building's being built.
My mom has a tent like that for weddings.
Yeah, weddings.
All summer long.
All summer long they have them out, and that's something all over the country you'll find. Wedding, what they call them, wedding...
Venues.
Couldn't think of the word. Venue. And you have tent meetings that they'll go set up a tent and they'll schedule it for 1 or 2 weeks, and the really wild ones will go on for weeks in that one tent. So either way, the point is, a lot of this stuff, I hope you just use discernment and realize a lot of this stuff being taught is just nonsense. There's no biblical basis for it. And notice that the church at Laodicea appears to be a good Bible-believing church made up of legitimate Christians. Notice in your text, he says, you know, hey, salute the brethren. He didn't say rebuke the brethren. And he didn't call them fakes. He called them brethren in Laodicea. They're meeting there in Nymphas' house. And you say, well, why does that matter? Well, because that would change. How many of you, when you read that word Laodicea, automatically think of something? You read your Bible very much, you're going to. Here's the timeline. What you're reading now in Colossians 4 was around 64 AD. And give or take a couple of years. Then the next time you see Laodicea mentioned is in Revelation 3, around 100 AD. Might have been as late as 105 AD. So that's about 40 years. Would you agree with that? About 40 years? Yeah, give or take. Because it could have been as early as 62 AD in Colossus and 105 AD in Laodicea. You know, it's right around 40 years. And let's look at what happened to that church and what was it like in Laodicea 40 years later. In Revelation chapter 3. And we see right there in verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And that's Jesus Christ being referenced there. And verse 15, read that with me. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. And of course, most of you are familiar with the explanation that there were springs in the Laodicean area, and some were hot springs and some were cold springs. The hot springs they would use kind of like a jacuzzi, and they'd get in there and it would be healthy for their bones and their joints and all that sort of thing. The cold springs they'd actually drink, and it was refreshing, clear, clean water. And the kind of water that charismatic preachers would probably sell for $100 a bottle and call it holy water. And because they did use it for religious, they had religious connotations to it. And so that's probably what would have happened. But if you came across the spring that was lukewarm, you better not be jumping in there, because if you get it in your ears or your eyes, or you swallow some, or it goes up in your nose or whatever, it was a place where bacteria and fungi and all kinds of stuff would thrive, man. It was like they loved it. How many of you heard about these people going swimming in a lake and then they get a brain-eating amoeba or something? Buckeye Lake, they had... Yeah, stay out of Buckeye Lake. I agree with you. I don't know if what kind of... You know, fungus area, but up in what's this where we baptize? Alum Creek. Alum Creek had somebody get real sick one time from something they got out of there. Delaware Creek, and whew, man, stay out of the rivers. Ohio River, and you know, you see the fish coming out of there. They got three eyeballs, and you know, catfish have toes. You know.